Ajahn Sujin, thank you for having me here. It seems to me that the whole gist of your teaching comes down to one thing, and that is one of identity. And since there's no self, so we do not identify with our thoughts, sensations, feelings, perceptions, with the self. You were talking yesterday when Vincent asked, he said, I'm hungry. It is not I who is hungry, but there's the experience of hunger. Therefore, there's a separation between the witness experiencer and the object experienced. There's no one experiencing hunger. So it comes down to everything is there's no one there. It's just conditioning, but we don't know who is not who, but who is experiencing, right? Who is the experiencer if there is no self?
Sherry, listen to the words of the Buddha about whatever is now there to understand whether it can be self or I or not. For example, who's the enlightened one and what he enlightened, if it's not now, this moment, and what is there now? Can anyone know or experience the truth of it as it really is? That's why we listen to just one word, what is meant by enlightenment of the truth, and where is the truth? Because now they see in, there is doubt why it cannot be I, because now I see. But in truth, just in a moment, what is there? We don't think at all about hearing and thinking and whatever, liking, disliking. Just that now seeing what is the truth. If it hasn't arisen, can it be there now seeing? Impossible. That's why what we see now has arisen by conditions. We or I or anyone do not have to do anything at all. It's there by conditions just right now. While we're talking, they're saying, who conditioned it to arise? Impossible. It's there already. That's why consider just the truth of what is there. There is seeing. It sees. So there is seeing. Be truthful to what is meant by seeing. Seeing cannot be anything or anyone because it just sees it. So the seeing, it sees now. So am I. Because seeing is seeing. It now sees, right? And it has conditioned to arise to see without the ideas, without the visible object, increase on the ideas. How can there be seeing? Sees now. Impossible. That's why just a moment, only one moment at a time, what is there as a reality? Because seeing is real, but where is I if I is real? At this moment of seeing, there is seeing. So be truthful to the truth from the very beginning and begin to understand the Buddha's enlightenment, the absolute truth. All times, no matter what is there now or then or in the future, it's there as it is. Seeing. See, we call it seeing because now it sees. So when it sees, where is I who see? Because seeing sees. Right? Is it true?
Yes.
Just begin to understand life as it is.
Right.
One moment at a time to understand the truth of what is there now, as it is, not anyone or anything at all. Is that right? Just begin to be truthful to the truth, to have confidence of the truth that it's there by conditions. At moment seeing sees, it's not I see, it's seeing sees. True or not, begin to understand what is there little by little. As it is, as no one and no thing at all.
Right, thank you.
And what about hearing? The same. It's as that which arises to hear, no eye or anyone hears, because it's hearing which hears. And again, with a thing, not I think, but there must be reality which arises to think about what has been experienced and remembered as people and things. In truth, it's just a moment of thinking about that, different from other moments, thinking about other things. So these are real, they are realities, different realities, arising and falling away, never to return at all. It cannot last at all, even right now. That is meant by enlightening the truth of what is there, because there is not just only hearing. It's the sound, someone or something or a bird is gone, doesn't belong to anyone. No one can make it arise as soon as it has risen. It falls with insane. Is it true? So follow the truth. Study whatever is there, as one has said, to let go the idea of I see, I hear, I think. I from birth to death. That's wrong understanding, did you? And when it's about thing, something, it's atta. Thing, atta, a thing, a person, or an atta. So that is atta, the titi. Take everything for being something. But in truth, nothing at all, because what's gone? Can it be something? Never there at all, after it has fallen away. Can it answer any question about realities in a moment? Each one is different because there are different realities. Not anyone can be taken for other thing, only as it is. See, you see, no one. Is there anyone now?
Is there anyone now?
In these living pictures, shape and form. Each one. But in truth, what is seen? Without thinking, remembering the shape and form, can it be what you take for this person or that person? Or thing? So no one and no thing. All are good. Different reality. And that is Paramada Dhamma, because what is real is Dhamma. And the absolute truth nobody can change, it is Paramada Dhamma. And it's so subtle, but it can be understood little by little to let go wrong understanding. That is Abhidhamma, the subtlety of reality. Right now, so subtle. Whatever is there has arisen in front of you in split seconds without the teachings of the Buddha from his enlightenment. No one can understand the truth of what is there now. That is not there anymore. So very quickly, arising and falling all the time. And the succession of the arising and falling condition by the nitya, shape and form, to be remembered, to be taken for something, even there's no way. But now that is the nitya of whatever is experienced. And a reality marks and remembers. So it begins to, and to know what is there right now. Not I, even that which remembers. And remembering is not seeing. Different realities from life to life. Firing? Not yet. Because actually, no one at all. So to be this person only in this life, not the life before and not the life in the future, to be this people, this person again, only. So very short, and then no more this person. But new person is conditioned, new realities. No doubt about nothing and no one, only different realities now.
Right.
Just to add a little to what Ajahn was saying, there is the eye consciousness or seeing that sees. And there's thinking that thinks about what has been seen. And there's the ear consciousness that hears, and again, thinking about what has been heard. But apart from these different moments of consciousness and their objects, there is no identity of an individual apart from that. So in a sense, you are right in saying that it's all about identity or lack thereof, because that's the Buddha's teaching. But of course, the moments of seeing and hearing and thinking are all connected, because they are in the same stream of consciousness runs throughout life. They are not another stream. The consciousness all arises in the one stream, the seeing, the hearing, the thinking. But there's no separate identity or separate identity of self apart from those different moments of consciousness that arise one after the other and the objects. That, of course, is not apparent to us. That is what the Buddha's teaching is. The truth of that can only be known over time, over a long time, after considering what one has heard, and that is the function of understanding. The fact that that understanding has not been developed, and that it seems to us that there is an identity that is separate from the other moments of consciousness, that oversees the moments of consciousness, is something that will remain unless and until that understanding has been developed directly and the truth as taught by the Buddha comes to be known for himself.
Okay.
So the idea of being me or there being a self who experiences all these things is bound to remain for the time being. But if the Buddha's teaching is considered carefully, it can be seen that the different moments of experiencing are just that. They're moments of experience that arise by conditions. The identity that we assume to be present never actually appears to be known as such. It's always an assumption, elusive, because it can't quite be pinned down.
Okay. Thank you.
A couple of words that Ajahn was using. So you know that often we refer to realities as being anatta. It means no self, no thing. And she was saying that when it is taken for something, for example, the hardness now, if it is taken for something that is experienced, that is the opposite, that is atta. So when it's a table, when it's an arm, when it's a person, I experiencing, that is the idea of atta. It's not the understanding of Dhamma or reality as anatta. And she was talking about the absolute truths. So conventionally we can say this is Sarah, this is Jonathan, this is Vincent, this is Suchin, this is a table. This is conventionally true. But she was referring to the absolute truth. And she gave a word, paramatta. So paramatta or absolute truth refers to that which is not a thing or an atta or an idea such as seeing now. Seeing is real no matter what word is used or even if no word is used. It's a reality that arises and falls away by conditions. So this is a paramatta dharma. So what about hunger? Can anyone feel hungry in absolute sense? Or what is the feeling of hunger? Ajahn was talking about how now at a moment of seeing, no eye that sees, just the reality, the moment of consciousness that arises and sees what is visible. At a moment of hearing, just the moment of consciousness, we call it citta, arises and experiences what is heard, the sound. And at a moment of feeling hungry, actually it's just a moment of body consciousness accompanied by unpleasant or painful feeling that arises and experiences the tangible object at that moment, the hardness or the heat for example, at that moment. So now to the moment of touching, there is the experiencing of what is touched, the hardness, but not I that is touching, not I that is experiencing. And at that moment of touching, it's touching with either pleasant or unpleasant feeling. Usually it may be just a very little bit pleasant or a very little bit unpleasant. But when it's the feeling of hunger, then it's stronger, unpleasant feeling. Or if there's some sharp pain, there's very painful feeling that accompanies that moment of experiencing of the tangible object, such as the heat or cold or softness at that moment. So the main point is no one there that experiences anything, no one there that observes, no one there that witnesses, just moments of consciousness arising and experiencing their objects and falling away instantly. And this is the heart of the Buddha's teachings, that there are just these different conditioned realities that fall away immediately, nothing lasting at all. No essence, no soul, no I, no being at all.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Hi, Cindy. You were asking the question, who or what is the experiencing or experiencer, right?
Right.
Who or what experience? So since there's no I, right? The answer is clear to you now?
No one. Just
right, but if it's not you or I who experience, then what experience?
Consciousness.
Okay. That man leader, right. So there are many different types.
Right.
One type is who, one type is two types.
Singing,
right.
Consciousness of hearing, consciousness of thinking. So different consciousness arrives.
Okay. About what I replied to you, is there any part not clear? About the moment hunger occurred and what exactly happened at that moment. And then when we said, I feel hungry, and then that could be another type of citta with aversion, disliking the unpleasant feeling. That's basically what I wrote to you. In some more details,
right.
Any part not clear there?
No, I think Sarah just explained sort of similar, the unpleasantness or pleasant consciousness also arrives at the same time you experience the body sensation.
Yes, there is what we call the feeling of hunger. Is the experiencing of certain objects through the body sense. So a combination of hardness and pressure and so forth changes in the body experience as it's experienced. Those changes are experienced by body consciousness. And that is what conditions the thinking that I'm hungry. So, of course, the feeling of hunger is there. And there may be also, as Vincent just mentioned, aversion to that feeling. But these are just different moments of consciousness. And the thinking that it's I'm who hungry, hungry is a conditioned response that is there, an accumulated tendency. And according to the Buddha's explanation, there is no separate reality represented by that thought of I, but there is the idea that's been accumulated, that it exists.
Thank you.
I was chatting to Hung on a walk this morning, and she was mentioning about a friend who has various difficulties and problems and is looking to the Dharma to solve her difficulties. And we were saying that this is quite a common idea. People have some difficulty in their life and they would like the teachings to solve the problem. that we were questioning whether it's the right motive, whether there's really interest to study dharmas or just wanting a solution for the problem. So do you have anything else to add, huh?
Yes. I think it's a wrong approach to the Dhamma, because I don't think it's a real interest in Dhamma, just to find some solution to solve my problem only. And but if we don't discuss with her in detail, so I think you can help her in some way, but it's not a real approach to the Dhamma, because it cannot help to have a right understanding about the reality now.
What do you think, Eve? So we always have difficulties and problems in life. Does life get easier with understanding?
No. I don't have much understanding, but what little is there, the difficult and challenging experiences, there's less resistance to it. Things happen by conditions. There is no self to control conditions, to elect, to choose. The answer for me is parami. But Dhamma offers though tremendous support and comfort. The understanding helps to make the seemingly harsher, more dispassionate, if you will, experiences bearable, doable, and I can meet and greet whatever arises in this life, if you will, in this vijnana. And it's one experience at a time through one mind door. And each khanda is the world, and each moment is a life. That's all I have to say.
That was a good summary at the end, that each reality is a world, and the world arises and falls away at each moment. Nothing lasts at all. So what seems like the difficulty or the problem that one has in the conventional life, like one's family has had a death, or there's this problem with the child, or one's work isn't going well, or one's neighbor said the wrong thing. Actually, we know that we live in the world of ideas and concepts and stories, but actually in truth, each reality arises and falls away, and the world is just at this moment what's gone, completely gone, never to return. So life just exists now in a moment. Would you like to bring up your question about Sanya or any of the...
Yes, this morning I talked with Kunsara. And as I read in the book, the condition for the sanya to arise is the object, is the aramana.
Can you just translate the Pali terms for friends like Cindy, so sanya?
The sanya is the perception to with the function to mark and remember the object when the consciousness experience that object. So the perception, mark and remember that object is the function. So when I read the book and it said that the condition for perception to arise is the object, but is the object previous object, not the current object. So it's confused me, which is correct. Is the current object or the previous object that the consciousness experience that object? It's a mental factor to mark and remember that object.
Is there sanya now?
Yes, of course.
What does it mark?
It's mark everything.
One by one.
the object for the seeing, object now, the sound.
Sanya marks voice.
The voice of the word.
Is there sanya now?
Yes.
That particular sanya marks.
What do you mean by particular sanya?
Now, one sanya.
One sanya is arising with hearing.
It marks what?
It marks the sound.
Okay. And your question?
Is the sound is previous sound or the sound, the current sound?
A moment of sound.
Because
appearing and sanya marks and remembering that sound, only that sound, which appears to hearing.
At the moment of hearing, the sound cannot be a previous sound. It has to be the sound that is heard at that instant. So the sanya, the memory, marks that sound heard just at that moment of hearing. It cannot mark the previous one because it's gone. That world has fallen away already. So it's just the present sound that is experienced. But when thinking about the sound, thinking about the idea of the sound, thinking about the words that were spoken, thinking about the voice of Ajahn, then it's still just the present object that is marked and remembered. But in this case, it is the idea, the concept of sound. First, the nimitta of the sound, then the concept, the idea of that sound. But it's still just the present object that is experienced by the citta.
So can you say that at the current moment now, the sanya perception mark only the object, or it's also remember the object? Or it's both?
That's my point. Now. Now.
Sound.
So sanya marks sound.
Sound. So in the mind, though, when we think about something, so sanya remember.
Yeah.
That.
If there no sanya, can we condition thinking about that? Because of sanya, citta fades, and then sanya marks the object of whatever is there. It's the object of sanya. Right or wrong sanya?
Most of the time it's a wrong sanya, because it's the...
Why is wrong?
Because it's it consider as something.
No understanding of that object as it is. Asura, avichasura. And it's now this moment. Sanya marks and remember the truth of what is that appearing.
Yes, at the moment of the right understanding about
the word Sanya, or the meaning or the characteristic of that object.
I think the both, the characteristics and the meaning of the characteristics.
For example, Sanya. Is there sanya of that word?
Yes.
Is there sanya of the characteristic which is of sound, which is sanya itself? this is the object that should be considered about the truth because it's there all the time, all day. Otherwise, we talk about the story of Sanya a lot, but no understanding of Sanya at all. Even no thought about it like now. It must remember this when it seems wrong or right according to Gita at that very moment, wrong Sanya or right Sanya. Even it's that which is seen, but no understanding. So it takes that as with ignorance, not understanding the truth of it. So there is wrong Sanya on and on and on, Sanya Vipalasa. And understand more about what is Sanya now and the other moment. Otherwise, the characteristic of Sanya is not clear and it's still there. So the point is to understand the truth of all kinds of reality. Otherwise, there must be ignorance, attachment, and wrong understanding. And we think that just by word one can let go the idea of self. Impossible. All in one's life with wrong sannyas. And what about eons and eons lives? And this moment, many moments of sannya, wrong or right. That's why I just know that sannya now much remembers, but citta experience the characteristic. No one there at all. Beginning to have confidence at level of intellectual understanding. Firm enough to condition the moment of direct understanding of just as usual it now appears. Heartless, visible object or whatever.
May I enter this conversation?
I am. Go ahead. Good to see you here.
Okay. Ajahn, do I take it then the only right sannya can only arise where there is understanding, and it's, I'm getting a little muddled up here. It was something you said very close to the end when you were speaking to Hung just a moment ago. Sanya Vipalat is what arises often, very often. We're thinking, but if it's it's only with understanding that right sanya can arise, and I guess with that understanding there, it will be remembered, and when it arises again, it will also be remembered. I'm saying this really awkwardly. Maybe you could talk a little bit more about what is right sanya and how it arises.
Well, if I could just say a few words first, and most of the thinking as we've been discussing is agusala. Chitta,
yes.
Think,
yes.
Oh, the sanya is wrong sanya. Mm-hmm. Just because it does perform its function though. So
yes.
Sanya always performs its function, whether it's so-called right or wrong sanya. It's only when there's kusala chitta, or preferably right understanding, that the sanya is also right sanya.
Yes.
So it's just the nature of things, that there's more agusala in a day than kusala, or a lot more. Kusala all day long, apart from the moments of vipaka, of course, and the odd moments of kusala citta. As understanding is developed, the sanya also, of course, is developed in that sense too, that there's more kusala in a day.
Can you say that last part again, please?
As right understanding is developed, all kinds of kusala are also being developed.
Yes.
And so there's more right sanya in a day.
Yes. Okay.
Naturally, not because, and this was going to be my question to Ajahn, that I'm not sure that sanya itself is ever the object of understanding, as understanding is being developed, or whether it needs to be one of those realities that becomes the object of understanding as the path is developed. But it doesn't really matter whether it is or not. We can still reflect on its usefulness and its function.
Sanya now, all the time. See, things and people around, not the citta, which must remember as this is the leaf or the table or the chair or the glass at all. It is sanya all day. Mm-hmm. And no understanding of sanya as if not anyone at all. It's a citta either, because citta just experience the object so clear, and sanya arises and must remember instantly. So there is sanya all day, even right now. But nobody thinks about it at all. Because no understanding of sanya. We just say sanya arises with citta and so on. But this moment is sanya now. Must remember everything through each dhamma. That's why beginning to see that sanya arises with citta in a day. Citta just experiences the object, and sanya knows what is what all day. So beginning to know what remembers, what marks that object as something. Is that a reality which arises and marks and remembers all day? So it's not far away. It's now. That's why I learn to understand sanya now, that it now marks what is what.
And remembering also, Ajahn, that sanya is sometimes translated or explained as having the function of perception.
It doesn't matter what word.
But you said sanya knows what is what, was the way you put it, by marking. So that's the idea of perception, rather than just remembering what is the present object.
We use different words as much as we can get closer to the truth of answering the word at all, because it's just a reality, and it cannot be taken for I remember, because actually, each reality has its own characteristic to be known as it is. So now, that is sanya, but it's not known when there's no word about it, that it's no one there at all. Any moment in life, there must be sanya. So there can be moment of beginning to be acquainted with sanya at moment of thinking. See, because of sanya. Think of that, so keep that experience at all. All realities are so very subtle, that's why it cannot be known, because it just a moment, how can it be known? So now we talk like the world appear as just the world of sight and sound and so on, but in truth more than that. So what appears is that which seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking, but in truth more than that. Different jitas in different processes.
You said that in truth more than that.
Yes. For example, somebody channa, sangirina, tathanabana, can it be known? No. They are there. So the word of six dhavas only. So at moment of realization of the truth of each reality, can there be more than six dhavyas? Impossible. So we live in the world of sight and what are they now? Without understanding. And the reality which cannot understand the truth is avijja. So it attaches to what is there, because it's life, it experiences. So it's I for sure when there is no one at all. So we live alone. in dreams, sanyan, memory, thinking. That's why there must be thinking more than other knowing. And the reality is the reality as it is. So at moment of understanding, see how sure it is in a process. See, one moment, but there are citta more than one in this process. So the seeing must be so very sure, like a flash in darkness, because there are mirrors all the time, but it seems like there is seeing all the time, this other process in between. But in truth, thinking a lot.
Let me give a little summary for the benefit of Cindy or anyone who is not so familiar with the topic. So we discussed at the start how at every moment in life, there is one moment of experiencing, such as seeing or hearing or touching or thinking. And I mentioned the word citta. So at every moment in life, one moment of consciousness, one citta. And each moment of consciousness has to be accompanied by at least 7 mental factors, which we call chetasikas, which arise together with the citta and which experience the same object. So at a moment of seeing, there are 7 mental factors that arise together with it, and they all experience the same visible object. At a moment of hearing, the citta is accompanied also by the same 7 chetasikas that experience the sound heard. One of the chetasikas that arises with every citta in life is sanya that we're about. So sanya, we have said, it's memory or perception, and it has the function of arising together with that seeing consciousness or hearing consciousness, but the sanya marks and remembers the object that is experienced. It marks the visible object that is seen now. It marks the sounds that are heard now at each moment. And it is because of sanya that it's possible later to recall those sounds or those visible objects and think about them. There can be thinking about the color of the shirt someone is wearing, thinking about the leaves in the background because of sanya, which has marked every object that has been experienced by the citta and the chetasikas. And it seems that there is the thinking about the leaves waving in the wind or the different sounds uttered. But actually, one citta arises and falls away so rapidly. So sanya is marking at every instant. So even at the moment of thinking of leaf, there are countless moments of citta's thinking and countless sanyas marking that idea that is thought about different at each moment. So it can never be a story that is experienced by sanya. It can never be the waving leaves, because sanya is marking at each moment. But without that sanya having marked and remembered what has been experienced, there couldn't be the thinking about different people here, different sights, different sounds. And we talked about right and wrong sanya. So when the sanya arises with moments of seeing or hearing, it's not right or wrong. It's the result. It's the result of past karma. The seeing or the hearing is the result. It's not good or bad. It's not wholesome or unwholesome. But later, when there is thinking about the object that was seen or heard, there can be thinking with greed. There can be thinking with annoyance. There can be thinking with understanding. There can be thinking with kindness. So at those moments of thinking,
the thinking itself, the sanya that arises with it, and the other citta seekers are either wholesome, kusala, or unwholesome, akusala. So Jonathan and other people were using these terms, kusala and akusala, to refer to right or wrong, or wholesome or unwholesome. So when it's kind, a moment of thinking with kindness, at that moment, the sanya is wholesome or right memory or right remembrance. And when it's unwholesome, then it's akusala, wrong sanya, marking and remembering at those moments. And they used a word, vipalasa. This actually refers to the perversion or the wrong sanya when it is marking the object with attachment or with ignorance. Ajahn used the word avijja a couple of times. So when thinking about the leaves blowing in the wind, usually it's just with ignorance or attachment. So this is the perversion of sanya, or the wrong sanya, different from the remembering with kindness or goodness.
Sarah, can you say that is a wrong sanya, including we wrongly remember the things, like we wrongly remember your name to another name? So is included or not?
No, wrong remembrance. Like I might greet Kun Ao with the wrong word or the wrong pronunciation, definitely. And conventionally we say it was wrong remembrance of the tone or the name. But in terms of right and wrong memory in the absolute sense, kusala and akusala memory, it is not the conventional wrong remembrance that is being referred to. It is the nature of the citta and the sanya. One might say, I might say Kun Ao with the wrong pronunciation, but with kindness. So at that moment, the sanya is kusala, so it is right remembrance. Conventionally, we might talk about, we say when we've lost our key that it's wrong memory, we can't remember where we put it.
Yeah.
But at that very moment of looking, there might be understanding of sound or understanding of visible object. So at that moment of understanding, it is right memory. So whatever we talk about, we distinguish between the conventional truth. Conventionally, it's true I've lost my keys and I can't find them. Or conventionally, it's true that I'm pronouncing the Thai names with the wrong pronunciation. But in the absolute sense, when we're talking about right and wrong memory, kusala or akusala, it is different from the conventional idea.
Yeah. And we understand that there's a word, another word is tirasanya, is right understanding can lead to, can condition to the satipatthana. So can you explain more about this right sanya?
If there's no understanding of sati, can there be satipatthana?
In the normal kusala without understanding, it's still right sanya, but not lead to, not conditioned to the tira sanya.
Sanya arises with citta. But now, when one thinks, what sanya is now, whether it's kusala or akusala, without understanding sanya as just a reality, which marks and remembers whatever is there, can there be the understanding of sanya as kusala or akusala? Just think about it. Even citta is not known. So how can sanya be known right now? Is it kusala citta? When it's kusala citta, sanya is kusala or akusala. But this is in words, not the reality, which sanya is that which is not citta. It's not that which experiences the object all the time, but it marks and remembers whatever is there. When citta experiences that, So there is an order of different dvara or process. So should we think whether it is wholesome or unwholesome, sanya? Or just understand that sanya is only a reality which experiences the object, but not as citta. Because now it remembers who soon.
Just think about this now. Understand the...
Otherwise, there cannot be conditions for direct awareness at all. Because everything now is real. It can be the object of understanding when there's enough conditions, like what is citta and what is sanya, and now it is aware of citta or aware of sanya. Now, this moment. That's why just learn about the characteristic which is not self, as that is a reality which experiences, no matter with ignorance, right understanding, or sanya, any kind of moment. This is the beginning, not just try to understand whether it's wholesome or unwholesome sanya.
What Hung was referring to in her question was the firm remembrance that develops with the understanding and awareness. So the more understanding develops of the reality experienced, the more firm remembrance develops which conditions that understanding. It is the firm remembrance of the reality now that has to be understood. So there's more and more confidence that life just exists at this moment. It is just sound heard. It is just the visible object seen. No one that sees, no one that hears at all. And confidence develops and the firm remembrance develops that there are just different realities and bliss conditions. Deeper and deeper understanding of the truth. In the beginning, when one forgets what is to be understood and one thinks that there can be understanding of moving one's cup slowly or waving one's arm, then there cannot be any firm remembrance of the truth that has to be known. So the sanya develops as well as the understanding and awareness and all kinds of wholesomeness. But as Ajahn was stressing, if one goes looking for it or tries to work out, is it right or wrong remembrance now? Is it right or wrong? Is it kusala or akusala now? This is actually all the story of I or self trying to find out what is there. It's not the natural development of understanding.
So wrong sanya and wrongness starts with wrong view, and what conditions wrong view? And if the citta is akusala citta, then all the cittasika accompanying it are also akusala. So if it's akusala or wrong sanya, then this is one of the factors for the conditions that, condition akusala and ignorance to accumulate throughout the day.
Gentle right now, there is seeing. It's the sanya too. Rises with seeing.
Yes.
Can it understand the truth of seeing?
No.
So it's right or wrong? Taking it from I see. So it is atta sanya.
Atta sanya.
Opposite of anatta sanya. Nitya sanya, opposite of anitya sanya. Sukha sanya, opposite of dukkha sanya.
Yes.
It does not have at all seen right now, but in truth, it's harming.
It's
subtle.
It hurt citta and citta-sika, which arise together as it remembers wrongly. And it's not just the word. The most important thing is each word should lead to the understanding of the truth of this moment. Otherwise, we keep on postponing talking about upgoing, but no understanding of what is there now. So the most important listening to the truth is to have more firm confidence of the truth. That is so very, very subtle. And this is the only way to let go the idea of trying to understand this and that, which cannot be understood right now. But now we can talk about whatever is there. And without any understanding of the truth of what is there, we couldn't find what is there now. Attachment is there. Ignorance is there. Sometimes thinking about other things, then yeah, it's that here. Otherwise, there cannot be thinking at all. So, is it right, Sanya, to condition moment of thinking with understanding of what is here more and more? Sanya yes. Plays a big role too.
Yes, and with Usala Sanya, then it's possible for Panya, which is a Chetasika, to arise. Possible. To develop.
I was sort of reviewing
and looking at in my notes about the five enemies or hindrances, and of course all of them are there, but vichikicca, doubt. And it's interesting because I have read in various read somewhere that this is, can mean doubt in one's abilities, doubt in a lack of confidence, I'd say then, a lack of confidence in one's abilities, and
right understanding.
Well, all sorts of things, but to have confidence or faith in Dhamma, and the way the akusala, the concepts and how it conditions the thoughts is, I'm the last one. I'll never get this. I'll never make any progress. And there are all these people surpassing me. So the vichikicca is there.
No matter who is saying, listening to what you say, right? For example, this moment, is it true or not? So true, this very moment, what is there? Not I, or anything, or anyone. But the truth is that there must be a reality which is conditioned to experience what is there as it is. For example, seeing right now, it cannot see sound, it cannot see smell, so we don't have to name or call it anything at all. It says that thing, just that, it's that which is seen. And if we use the word to represent it, we use the term visible object, no one, only that which can be seen. And among all realities, only one reality can be seen right now. We live in darkness when there's no seeing for sure. So now there must be darkness in between light. Right? Is that true? See, beginning to understand the absolute truth that is there all the time, but it's known when there's no understanding of the words of the truth from the enlightenment. So now we begin to understand, right understanding, understand the truth, not ignorance anymore. We live in darkness, in truth. Confidence. no confidence. But the truth has to be there, so that one realizes right understanding. Only right understanding can know the truth. What appears is not the truth as it, of it that is there, not the truth, because it appears as something. How come? Without any reality which arises just to see, there cannot be what is seen right now at all. And since it's so true, it can be developed until it shows up as it is, no wonder again. And this is more important than knows the number of citta and cetasika and anyata and so on, because there's not enough firm confidence of the truth, that the truth is the truth, so very subtle. But even so, it can be understood little by little, until wrong understanding and ignorance, little by little, for moments of what is there shows up. Otherwise, we forget this moment of seeing and sanya this moment. So Panya knows exactly what is the object of that very moment of sati, because it has no doubt about the difference between reality, that which experiences and that which does not experience. For example, there is the idea of a table here. It seems only that. No table, right? We have the idea of a table, but actually it seems. What is right? A reality which is seen. So don't forget that. If we just think about the world as we used to, not understanding that actually one lives in the world of darkness all the time, and the flesh of that which is seen appears ultimately. But since there's no understanding of what is there as it is, no letting go of the idea of self. That's why no one at all. It's only the different levels of understanding. That's why there have to be the very firm confidence of the truth. And listen and understand that no one can do anything. It's wrong trying to do anything to understand it, because it has to be the very subtle path. This fourth path, the fourth Arya Satya of the four Arya Satya. So how deep it is, how sudden it is. That's the way not to underestimate the truth of this moment. It's so that no one knows. And this is the understanding of each reality, each word. Otherwise we forget about what is that. It's only one dowry seen and that which appears, while the other purpose does not appear at all. It's hidden until Panya is then beginning to understand the difference between the same self and the mind. And begin not to forget where we now, what is this moment, so very dark, but ignorance is there, it's so light. Things around, people around.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
This is very important because it is parami. Firming and firming and firming, not to go wrong.
We were saying about right and wrong, sanya, how it's different from the conventional idea. When we're talking about doubt, or vichikicca, cetasika, it's not the doubt about what the weather is going to be, or about my skills cooking, or how to use the microphone. It's the doubt that arises with ignorance about the truth, about what is real now. So it's doubt about what is seen at this moment, doubt whether it's true that it's only seeing which sees. Different from, for example, of the idea of I'll never make progress and this isn't working for me. Usually it's that thinking with dosa. Doubt doesn't arise with dosa. It just arises with ignorance. So, oh, others are doing better. What about the mana there at those moments, the comparing? So different realities. The mana just arises with attachment, the, oh, poor me, I'm not making progress with dosa. And then what about the moments of self-view in between about I and my progress and I that is understanding or not understanding? So it comes back to understanding the realities. But if we hear a little bit more about what is vichikicca or what is conceit when it's flying the banner, my importance, others and me, or my progress, then we can see it's different from the nature of doubt and the taking it for something or taking it for I, different again. So many realities, just even when speaking one short sentence, like I'll never make progress, moments of doubt, moments of dosa, moments of mana, moments of attachment, and in between seeing, hearing, even maybe moments of understanding. So it's not a matter of labeling, but just understanding what is there, becoming more familiar with understanding to know a little bit more about the truth and let go of the idea of I or my experience or my doubt or my wrong view or my goodness.
Yes, the utter so you.
Jane, I'd just like to bring up something. As you were saying, we see this and we think it's a table and there's no understanding of seeing a visible object at that moment. And we see this and we think it's a cup, no understanding of the experiencing a visible object at that moment. You say, which is right, which is wrong? Well, I'm not sure that it's always wrong to have the idea of table or cup. I appreciate that there's no understanding of reality at that moment, but there is obviously some basis for the idea that that's a cup, because everyone here will have the same thought that that's a cup. They'll have that thought, but with different levels of right or wrong understanding. So it seems to me that it's not necessarily wrong to think cup, table, computer, and so on and so forth. Could you say a bit more on that, please?
What about kusala citta?
What about
kusala citta?
Kusala citta.
Understanding of taking it for a cup, kusala.
Well, it depends what you mean by taking it for
a cup.
Talking about
a moment.
The thought of
kusala or kusala.
Depends.
Yeah. So do you have kusala almost the whole day if you take this for a cup? Okay.
No, I'm saying that the context in which the thought of cup or table or person
for the Buddha and the Arhatta, the experience and the idea of cup.
Right.
No wrong understanding, because understanding what is the truth, it's by this.
Yes.
The difference between the sensor and the mind.
Right.
Yeah. But now, is there any understanding of the sensor and the mind? A cup.
Well, there can be moments of kusala.
And at moment of not understanding the seeing that which is seen, kusala or akusala.
For example, when there's metta.
No, we don't change to metta.
No, I'm asking this question.
Yes, but there is the question about taking it for something.
Depends. Is like it if kusala? I'm offering that glass to someone as dana,
for arahata, kiriyajita,
there may be kusala or could be kusala. Lack of understanding doesn't mean there's wrong understanding.
The citta before the seeing cannot see. What is meant by cannot see? It just adverts to the object which impinges on the eye base, but cannot see yet. See? So how deep reality is, just to understand the truth as the first Pativeda realization, is that which is not self, because it experiences the object, and the other cannot experience the object. But the truth of that reality is there, as it is sound, or hearing, or attachment, or doubt, is there so clear, because it's there only one object of understanding. But now so many objects, how can it be clear? So what appears now does not appear well at all, because it's not the direct understanding of direct reality. With right understanding enough to understand the word of the teaching of the Buddha, different levels, intellectuals, pariyatti, and then patipatti, and then pativeda. So we just learn to have clear understanding of each reality, to have right understanding of what is there as it is. We cannot change instantly, unexpectedly. Anatta begins to develop, and sanya begins to have a glimpse of anatta sanya unexpectedly. That's why when one is asked whether at that moment is kusala or akusala, no one can tell. They would like to have the answer, but it's wrong, because how can it be known? Just understand the difference intellectually, that's all. But what is known in the beginning, the first stage of Vipassana Yana, is Nama, Rupa, Pariccheda Yana, and the word Nama includes all kinds of that which experiences the object, different ones. It can be hardness, it can be thinking, it can be seeing in a flash, just very quickly as it is. So what can be experienced in daily life, or what can be known, is only six domains. Well, there are many realities before and after. The seeing, the hearing, the smelling. Is it still down?
Thank you, Ajahn.
Little by little, to clear away the doubt about what is there. That's why from hearing, considering wisely, it can condition moment of considering it again, wiser and wiser too, little by little. All around to conform with each word of the truth.
Is there any my consciousness now, or any lost consciousness now? Just different moments of different cittas arising and falling away, accompanied by different cetasikas arising together, performing their functions, each one gone. So no my anything in reality. What about my mother and my father? Do you have a mother and a father? Do you have a brother? Do you have anything? Do you have a house you live in? So these are all conventional truths, my mother, my father, my house. But in reality, no me to own anything. Not my book, not my house, not my chair, not my sunglasses.
Until it appears as it is, see, quite a long, long,
long way.
Time.
But it has to begin with a little bit of considering carefully and reflecting, so that a little less doubt as the understanding develops, until no doubt at all that no, my mother there at all. No, my conscience.
Buddha just say, sense thou and mind thou. It seems like we have the understanding of the sense thou and mind thou. But as long as it does not appear as it is, no way to understand it. Just remember the difference between the sense thou and the mind thou. Even it's not hidden very deeply. And that is the enlightenment of the Buddha. the meaning of realization of the truth. The more understanding, the more one getting close to the greatest wisdom of the Buddha. Only Namo Tassa Bhagavato is said enough.
And couldn't Jagrit any intense pain now? So, if there is no pain now, there can't be any understanding of it, because no conditions for that painful feeling. So we can talk a lot about painful feeling, or we talked earlier about hunger pain or extreme pain, but if it's not now, then we just, all we can do is talk about the story of it, or talk about the nature of it, but different from understanding it when it actually appears.
Yes, and if we looking forward to awareness about the pain or sorrow that's intense, so sometimes it never happens for a long, long time.
Right.
So we cannot waiting to looking forward to that reality to be aware. So that's a strong understanding.
Right. Are you looking forward to having intense pain to be aware of it?
Yeah, sometimes.
Really? Really?
And then
so amazing. So there can be clinging to anything, clinging to having intense pain to be known. So, as you say, it's the wrong understanding. It's the idea behind it of selecting a particular object so that there can be awareness, so the hidden self is there wishing to be aware, wishing to understand, not understanding what appears now.
And when there's intense pain, there can still be awareness of any reality. It depends on conditions. It could be of seeing an invisible object or a visible object, for example. It depends on those particular accumulated tendencies of the individual and what has been the object of awareness and understanding previously. It doesn't have to be as object what is the strongest reality appearing at the moment.
And why would you like to be aware of intense pain? Why would you like to select that object rather than seeing or hearing or hardness? Why intense pain?
Because the feeling pain is obvious when it's occurring and easy to notice, different from other reality that we just careless about it. And sometimes the serious pain occurs for a long time, so we can easily notice or easily aware of that feeling. And it's a habit from the wrong practice.
Exactly.
Earlier.
This is why I brought it up.
Why I was a monk.
Yes, I think so.
I'm fasting for 3 days and feeling something.
Waiting for intense pain. So yeah. It's a little bit like we were talking about sensation yesterday. I think it's an effect from the meditation or the wrong practice, the idea of focusing on pain or dukkha. So like sitting a long time in discomfort so there can be understanding of dukkha. But actually it's all about me, and it's not understanding, as we said the other day, what is dukkha in reality, because seeing now is dukkha, hearing is dukkha, and when there is the trying to have a special experience, like you say, the attachment is there, the wrong view is there, wishing to have that particular experience for awareness. So it's wrong from the beginning. Like, would you like to have strong anger so there can be awareness of strong anger? Or would you like to have very strong attachment just to be aware of attachment? Why intense pain? It's a wrong idea of being aware of dukkha, I think. And like you say, the remnants are still there from previous practice or wrong teachings, not understanding the clinging, especially the clinging to oneself and the clinging to I being aware. Otherwise, one would never select or choose to have intense pain as object. It's the opposite of understanding with detachment what is conditioned at this very moment. Like now there is seeing or hearing, kindness, unkindness. They're just different dharmas. Each one passes away. So the development of our understanding has to be with non-selection, with detachment to whatever appears. And it seems that that intense pain lasts a long time, like you said. But as we discussed, actually, just one moment of experiencing through the body door, experiencing rupa through the body door, and then countless mind door processes, focusing, thinking about the pain, and then more moments later, it actually, like Eve said earlier, the world is just for a moment and falls away. Nothing lasts at all. So before, when you followed the wrong teachings, was there this practice of focusing on pain?
Yes, many wrong practice.
Yes.
This is the one.
Yes.
To waiting for a serious pain, to be aware, and many practice, and we take the pain as the dukkha of Ariya Sattva.
Right.
So it's very, very wrong.
Right.
And a lot of practice of that in Thailand, in many institutes. And so it's take us from understanding the reality. As Ajahn just mentioned earlier, that firstly we have to understand that each reality is not self, and anatta, it's anatta. But every time when we taking some reality to be aware, we neglect the self. Why we don't know, such as pain, we not aware that the pain occur. It is not self. It is not our pain. And if we pass this understanding, directly go to aware the pain. So that is a long understanding. Okay. Right. So many reality arise that we have to understand that it's not self. Firstly, to confident about that. That Ajahn just mentioned earlier about this understanding the reality is not self. Which is not really, not easy at all. Very, very difficult. Understand more about it. Thank you very much.
I just want to check people on Zoom. Can you hear?
Yes. Yes, I can hear. I can hear.
Before though, Sarah, there was a long chunk when Jonathan was asking that question about memory and self. There was a long, very long piece which we did not hear. The thing just went blank. Would have been for about 5 or 10 minutes, but we seem to be on track again.
Back to Jagrit's point, like you say, when there's that idea of selection, no understanding of Dharma, no understanding of what is meant by anatta, and no understanding that the understanding has to understand what is conditioned, and also it's no understanding of what is dukkha, which is right now, seeing is now, hearing is now, each element is dukkha. Because it arises and falls away and is therefore unsatisfactory. And I think we've discussed with Vincent before, but when someone has been a serious meditator for a long time, even though they're not those wrong ideas or practices, the remnants can remain for a long time. There can be the sort of natural attending to certain objects or thinking about dukkha in that way. So it takes a long time for all doubt to be let go of, all wrong view to be eradicated. Only Sotapanna has no more wrong view.
It takes quite a long time to realize the truth of this moment. So how long?
1 moment.
Until it appears as it is.
Until it appears
and
well, until
to rank and ascending too, not just appear right now without any understanding. Great patience, Kanti Parami.
I was just looking at the process of citta, Tatya Citta Citta and the Chalana Citta, and the arrested Citta, Upacheda Citta, and the Mano Dvarajna. But I think it is the third citta in the process, the sampatichana citta, where the clinging comes the third citta in the process, I think.
What citta arises before the process?
The adverting. Five sense door adverting.
No. What is the first citta which arises before the process of citta, which
is experience.
Okay. How many moments?
One.
Really?
Well, okay. There are three bhavangas, the atita, the vichalana.
The three bhavanga.
Yes.
And then before any sense process can begin, it needs another three bhavanga before when it's sense. So we didn't talk about that. What about the first citta in the process?
The five sense to adverting consciousness.
Not sampatichana, not seeing, not anything.
That's
and then?
And then you have the fasa, the one which touches. And then the sampatichana, the receiving.
That's the same.
And then the santirana, the investigating. And then the one that directs, which, thank you. And the votapana citta. And then the javana citta. Seven. If it is the full course that run through the answer.
So what?
And then the Tadalambana or the Tadaramana. Please excuse my pronunciation.
Can it be known? Each one that you say?
Only with a very high degree of
now knowledge. What appears below
sound
and hearing,
hearing,
saying, and whisper object. Only five senses and mind are present, no matter in what world, animal, realm, deva, brahman, depending on conditions? How many realms are there?
It depends on conditions, mm-hmm. because in the higher realm there could be, in an arupa realm, there are no rupa, there's no visible object or of any kind, so it depends.
So what are there now?
In this kind of existence.
Seeing here, seeing there, seeing on the street, seeing everywhere, yes. by conditions, no one at all, when we talk about seeing.
But here now, one kanda, one world, one moment.
What kanda is one?
Hearing. I mean sound.
How many kandas?
If I say one moment, one. One kanda.
You mean there's no rupa, there's no nama?
Oh no, we live in the world of five kandas.
Yeah.
Or nama kandas have to arise at each moment.
And what is meant by kanda?
World, reality, the sense object.
Whatever arises and falls away is kanda. How many kandas now?
Yeah.
yeah.
I'll stay with that.
Right.
Five, not six or four.
Why do you say five, not one?
Well, there is being, hearing, tasting, touching.
What kind of is it? What kind of is it? Hearing.
The touching would be kaya vijnana, the body consciousness, aware of pressure.
All kinds of nama, which experience object.
Yes.
But what can be known, or is the object of attachment? So great in the day.
Yes.
To feel vedana kanda.
Yes.
Sanya kanda.
Yes.
Sankara kanda. Vijnana kanda. The four nama kandas.
Yes.
And when we say there are five kandas now, we're not talking about seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, because there can only be one citta at a moment, one vijnana kanda at a moment. So the five kandas now are the four nama kandas, vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana, and the rupa kanda.
Or we can say vedana kanda, sanya kanda, sankara kanda, and vijnana kanda. No matter how many less, many sankara kanda.
Yes. Because there cannot be seeing and hearing at the same moment, so only one vijnana kanda at a moment, but many sankara kandas at that moment. Because 50 Chaita seekers, so not all at a moment, but always at least five, not counting Vedana and Sanya. Each one is kanda, arising and falling away.
Is seeing also dark?
Wrong view is dark.
But seeing now, just seeing itself, that which sees. Is it dark?
In what sense?
That now, no light eyes? Appears.
Seeing sees visible object. Visible object
appears. Visible object is dark.
Mm-hmm.
So what about seeing?
Seeing sees visible object. It is not dark. It appears.
So is it dark or light? Seeing.
Seeing is light.
That which is seen is
seen is not light.
It is vijnana kanda or nama kandas, not light. not doing that in that much.
Yes. Thank you for elucidating that further and clear, making it clearer, the distinction between sense object, between Nama and Rupa.
But among all Dharmas in the world, no matter what world, it's that. Only visible object is not that. Because it can be seen. Even it's quite dark, but it appears to be object of seeing. So if you don't use visible object, whatever is seen is Rupa Ramana. The Rupa and Aramana, so it is Rupa Ramana. And when talking about the sense door, only Rupa Ramana, only when we talk about Rupa as Aramana, that which is seen. Can Sapta, the sound, be Rupa Ramana?
Sound is Rupa.
Yes, but can it be Rupa Ramana?
It is a reality, yes.
But?
Can it be the object, Rupa Aramana, the Rupa, which is the object?
Sound is the question.
Rupa Ramana refers to the object of seeing consciousness. That's the name for visible object, yeah.
And sound
Aramana, it just refers to sound as the object of hearing.
Yes.
So sound is Satta. Satta is sound. Satta Ramana. Is that sound which is heard only that. The other sound which has been heard cannot be Satta Ramana. Only that which is heard. So fast, so short, just rising for us, so deep, so subtle.
Dream, does the world seem light now? Does it seem light all around now? What about when hearing? Is it light? Is the sound light? When smelling, is the smell, is the odor light? And this is the world of ignorance and not understanding, because what Ajahn has been explaining is, in truth, the world is only light at the moment when visible object is experienced, because visible object is the only reality that is light. The sound is not light. The odor is not light. The taste is not light. The mind object, the idea about what has been seen and heard, is not light. But it seems that the lightness lasts, just like it seems that the pain, the extreme pain, lasts, because it's covered up by ignorance and not understanding. Actually, it's just lightness for an instant and then gone, and all other realities are experienced as in darkness. Even the seeing itself that experiences the light is not light. A point to consider over lunch.
This is sound.
Aramana.
Sound is a dharma. It's not aramana. No.
And when is it aramana?
Visible object. Is
sound. When will it be aramana?
The question
is, when is sound and aramana?
Sound, aramana, and aramana again?
Okay.
Sound is the object of hearing consciousness.
And so it's not the sound in the forest, which is heard.
No, just sound.
So what is this? That which is heard?
Sound.
Satta, sound, and aramana.
Satta, aramana, thank you. Sound in the forest is concept, that's already.
It doesn't matter. It is sound, but it's not heard. So it is not the object of any citta.
As it found in New York, not a paramount.
By conditions, there must be sound. Sound was not heard. It's not aramana. It is only satta. That's why in Pali, little by little, aramana is that which citta experience, no matter what.
Yes. Nama is experienced by citta. Citta can experience all dhammas.
How many kinds of nama?
Oh.
Again.
Because through eye base.
Can sound be the object of sanya?
Can sound be the object of sanya? Sanya is a chittasya that marks and remembers. That's its function only. It doesn't hear.
Can it be the object of sanya?
Yes.
Right. That's the meaning of nama. Whatever arises and experience an object, as soon as it had arisen, its function is experience an object. Before we can say what object is then. But that which arises to experience, no matter through what doorway, or not through any doorway, but it arises to experience, like moment of bhavanga. It doesn't have the object of the sixth door. But whatever arises to experience, there must be the object of the experiencing. And can satta, Taramana, the object of feeling? Feeling, Vedana.
No. That sound.
Yeah.
And, oh, Vedana. Yes, it's true.
Yeah. Vaikhanda, Namakhanda.
Kaya
Vinyana.
Yeah.
Vedana, feeling. Yes. They arise together, they fall together, experience the same object.
Yes, the seven universals.
Mm-hmm. It has to be right now.
Yeah.
To be known little by little. That's why there must be sanya marking the object all the time and knowing.
What is that Vedana when sound is experienced?
Can be pleasant feeling? Vedana? Kusala or akusala?
When the sound is heard at the moment of hearing sound, can it be kusala or akusala?
Now I'm confused. I don't understand.
The moment of hearing sound, The hearing is what kind of citta? Is it kusala or akusala, or what kind of citta is it?
Hearing is hearing. It's neither kusala nor akusala.
Right. It's vipaka. It's vipaka citta. And that hearing, which is vipaka citta, what kind of feeling arises with it? To experience the sound.
Well, it depends if the cheat is akusala or not. Then the chittas are all akusala.
The cheetah we just said is vipaka.
So the chittaseekers are vipaka.
Are vipaka. But we said before, at the moment of experiencing, bodily experiencing, it can be very extreme, painful feeling, or when very hungry. Unpleasant feeling or pleasant feeling, but what about at the moment of hearing? What kind of Vedana is there?
I don't know.
Only neutral feeling, not pleasant feeling, not unpleasant feeling. At the moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, or tasting, only neutral feeling at that moment.
Yes, thank you for the Pali, because I'll say hearing is hearing, and what does that mean? So kirya chitta, kirya. Vedana, yes.
Not kirya, no. We're talking about the vipaka citta. The moment of hearing, like the moment of seeing, are vipaka cittas, result of kusala or kusala karma, but they are vipaka cittas. And no matter whether that moment of hearing is a result of kusala or kusala karma, the Vedana has to be neutral feeling at that moment.
Yes.
No matter what the sound experienced is, no matter whether it's a pleasant or unpleasant sound, it's still only neutral feeling at that moment.
At that moment, yes.
Afterwards, there's the clinging with attachment and pleasant feeling and the thinking about it. But at the moment of hearing, it's just neutral feeling at that moment.
Yes, it all happened so fast. So I wasn't in the moment there with you in the manner of speaking about the question. I had already gone on to Kusala and not Kusala.
And the reason I'm mentioning it is because we chatted yesterday about sensation and this and that. But that Vedana is just a moment of neutral feeling arising with the citta and gone. That's all. Just tasting the object, experiencing it with that neutral feeling. We attach a lot of importance to what is seen and heard, but at the moment of seeing or hearing, regardless of what the object is, it's just neutral feeling at that moment.
Sound, hearing. Hearing is very popular. Yes. Sound is not. Sound arrives.
And what else?
Seeing.
Yes.
Object is that seeing arrives.
And what is vipaka?
Seeing.
Okay. What else?
Hearing.
No, at moment of seeing.
What else is vipaka?
Mm-hmm.
Is the Vedana?
Yeah, right, right.
The sanya.
Mm-hmm.
The other two. Vedana, sanya.
Or namakandas arise with them. So what are they?
Manasikara.
Yes, sankara khanda. Includes the siddhas, which is not the feeling in the sanya. Mm-hmm. And what else?
Jivitindriya.
Sankara khanda.
Sankara.
Sankara khanda. Mm-hmm. You talk about the four namakanda.
Yes. We have the sanya, the vedana. I'm lost in the words.
The four namakanda. Vijnanakanda.
Vijnanakanda, of course.
Seeing itself is Vijnanakanda.
Yes.
So there must be other three namakandas arise together with seeing Vijnanakanda.
Yes.